and welcome to Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast, where each and every single week we are going to focus in on the great links that are being connected through Koi Sports to unite businesses with grassroots sports and development. To talk us through that just now, it's an honour and a pleasure to welcome to you Sally Pierce, a training consultant from one of the new Koi Sport members, Foundation Training. Sally, how are you? Good evening.
I'm fine, thank you. Looking forward to having a chat tonight. Absolutely. About the organisation and what's happening.
I'm delighted to hear that. You and me both, welcome here to the Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. So I guess if you could kick off then, we're just introducing us to what you guys are all about there at Foundation Training.
Okay, yes. Well, basically, we started back in 2016. Previous to Foundation Training, I was in training for sort of about 10 years, and I worked basically with county council projects, and what happened, we were funded by lots of projects to run in within the county and city, but I had quite a big connection with care homes because I had a grandmother that was in a care home that unfortunately had dementia, so I've always had a little bit of a connection, and I was approached to do some training for some care staff, and that's really back in 2016 how it started. So I went in, did some first aid training, and then from there it kind of just, it sort of rippled out to lots of different care homes, and then I got approached to do mental health organisations, domiciliary, and then it then went on to groups which are supporting people with learning disabilities. So very varied, but very much health and social care, which is kind of what I've been doing for 20 years.
Well, that's awesome to build on that background, and it sounds to me that you're very much empowering individuals. Yeah. The thing that immediately kind of strikes me, I suppose, I'd be really keen to get an insight into it here. We're obviously still living in a very challenging time, and some of the things that you do here in particular are the challenges that are being faced within this kind of care and support sector. How has that rippled into what you do, and how have they benefited accordingly from some of the training that you've been able to facilitate in this challenging time?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, when the pandemic hit us all, for the first few months, it was basically what we did is just offer support. I mean, that, you know, the training, Care Quality Commission, who are obviously the ones that inspect the homes, we just basically, I communicated with them and I just said, I'm not, you know, we've got to just support them. And they said, absolutely. So fortunately, my brother he's into kind of IT, and he said, look, why don't you try getting Zoom? I'd never heard of Zoom. You know, I'd never used it. I'd got face-to-face training, etc. So I got the app and I thought, okay, I'll have a go. So what we did, we started doing some very hour-to-hour sessions free to the care homes for infection control around COVID, because it was obviously very frightening out there. So we started to run this sort of once every 2 weeks for anybody, really. It was families, it was care staff. And we just ran these workshops for a few, you know, for probably 6 months, because the last thing we needed to do is put any pressure on those care homes. So that's what we did. But through that, and conversations I was having through Zoom, is that, you know, the stress that they were under was, you can't even imagine. And I've always been very passionate about carers. I've always seen what great jobs they do in care homes and what they do to support and the hours they put in. So for me, you know, obviously it was frustrating because we couldn't go in, so we had to do what we had to do, and that did, I mean, what we actually did from there, we set a wellbeing up, which was sort of voluntary. We got different people in to support by talking about health and well-being. So we had somebody come in talking about diet, someone talking about mindfulness, and then we got connected with Loros, and we did some quite few, you know, kind of different sessions. So everybody at that time had to think of things they could do without, you know, putting pressure on anybody.
The trendy word is pivot, isn't it? But everybody has to sort of pivot and adapt. But it's really impressed me to kind of appreciate through all of this how adaptable we are and can be, and how we actually have pulled together. And that empowerment it strikes me very much at the ethos of what you are all about. Just briefly, just in kind of as we move back into a more normal way of being, we hope. What are the overall goals there at the training, the foundation training? What's the big
thing? I mean, foundation training over the years is kind of, well, as I say, I started off working with mental health and support groups, you know, for sort of 8 and 10 years of doing wellbeing programs. So obviously foundation training initially was about manager training, you know, your health and safety, your first aid, your basic, your infection control, all the training that an organization needs for their staff. Okay. So, but through that, we realized that they need a lot more than just your manager training. It's about empowering them, self-esteem, giving them confidence, you know, getting to know them. And every home or every organisation will have different people they're supporting. So what we try and do is make it bespoke because it's individual. So then from kind of how and the stress that people have been suffering. So not only that, I'm a trustee for an organisation that does mindful programmes. So what we've actually done is I'm involved in doing mindful programs as well at the Secret Garden, which is at Glenfield Hospital. And we've been supporting doing some training or courses or workshops, however you want to put it, over a period of time to support the staff at the hospital. And they're people that have had COVID, they've had stress. So it's called Nurture with Nature. Beautiful. So it's getting outside. And so foundation training is kind of a lot more than what we say. So we kind of almost see someone that's vulnerable that needs that extra support. Yes. So it's pulling that in, but it's also giving them a guidance.
Yes. And
also, again, I could go on forever, but we also look at helping management in homes. So, for instance, a couple of weeks ago, I went in and sat down with the management to help them with the policies and organising the paperwork and trying to get sick. Because people don't realise that this pandemic, you know, they've understaffed, you know, the administration that they have to do and all the red tape. No one realises behind those scenes what happens. And it's, you know, if you can just give them an hour or, you know, just to be someone there on the outside.
Yes.
So, so it's a bespoke, holistic approach to empowering people.
Well, I tell
so
you,
you could be training anybody, but it's helping people to believe that they can do something as well.
And that structured support is available, but in a way that's going to be unique to each individual.
Which
is absolutely fantastic. Yeah. You mentioned they're working alongside the likes of Loris and other people. And I know how important partnership is as we all look to pool resources, as we all look to share initiatives and best practices, particularly in this challenging time. And obviously that's led you to get involved with Koi Sports. The ethos here is all about ensuring that businesses like yourself can provide support, guidance, and pool resources to fuel grassroots projects, particularly to sports. How did you get involved with Koi Sports? Where did you learn about it?
Well, interesting actually, because again, before the pandemic, I was approached by Voluntary Action of Leicester to do some training for volunteers. So I was going to actually go in and set up some training days, etc. And then obviously pandemic came. So we thought, right, okay. So I got talking to John Woodcock, who is obviously works for Voluntary Action of Leicester. And we started chatting and we basically put on a kind of a volunteer Zoom training for charities, because everybody has to have some form. So we did that, and through what John, he started to talk about koi sport, and I said to him one day, I said, what's koi sport? Well, you know, tell me a bit more about it. And he started to tell me about, and obviously I really like football. My partner, he's a Bill Leicester City fan, so we're both kind of quite passionate about sport, and we know the benefits it also has. And he was saying, yeah, it's really good, you know, there's different memberships and people get together and we support grassroots. And I said, that sounds fantastic. That's the kind of thing that for me, it's always trying to help people. So John introduced me to Dave, and then from there I met somebody, a guy called Spencer, who'd got an organisation that he had set up with young people, and I had a meeting with him. So it sort of kind of peppered, and I could see all the great work that was happening that Dave was doing. So I said, oh yes, I'd really like to be part of it. So hence, you know, that's how we all came together, really.
It's about that shared passion, that shared philosophy almost, isn't it? Coming together.
Yeah.
One of the things that is going to be amazing about your particular involvement, as with every single member of Koi Sports, is that some of your membership funds will drift in and be directly applied into practical grassroots sporting initiatives. A bit later on in this podcast, we are going to hear from the team over at Football Without Borders in Kenya, which I know one of the people that you are supporting, so looking forward to learning more about that. But I know that it's not just bespoke to those guys, that you are working with several. Just give me an insight into some of the organizations that you are directly going to be supporting through your partnership with Koi Sport.
Yes, I mean, obviously Football Without Borders, which the reason I kind of thought it was sounded a brilliant organization of what they're trying to do with, you know, village, and trying to bring sport as football and get the get young people to be involved in that. And also they talked about sort of bringing in some gardening skills to get them to grow their own, which I'm very much my other side of gardening is a passion also, because I think it really helps people mental health as well. So and then they were supporting young girls also, talked about the sanitary that they needed for the young girls so that they could play football and join in, and I just thought this sounded absolutely brilliant. So and funny enough, I had a phone call from the guy who sent some footballs over 2 days ago to say thank you, and I said, well, it's an absolute, you know, pleasure for me to actually be part of this. And we take this for granted in this absolutely. In the UK, that we've got footballs and they're easily accessible, and we just don't realise.
Do you know what's amazing there, touching on some of the key passions that really struck me from talking with yourself there, is that the element of, again, obviously football, sport, but also gardening, they do connect to mindfulness, don't they? Or you're engaging with nature, you do kind of, we disconnect from the stuff that causes us to disconnect, technology and what have you, our own worries and woes, and we are just in the moment, aren't we? It does find a real interesting synergy here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, all of it, as I say, I'm presently up at the Secret Garden doing a mindful, these sessions, and that, you know, we take people outside and they have this connection with this sort of, we just today found there's a bush that got these grapes on it, and some of them are picking the grapes, and they were saying this is just lovely, and it because it's outdoors and it's not around technology. I mean, I always say that none of us are really in our natural environment, because buildings and heating, we all actually, our natural environment is outdoors, you know, with nature. Yet we've all, you know, evolved into this technology. And I see the benefits, and I've seen it for 20 years, those benefits of being outside and being able to sort of connect with trees and again, hence nurture through nature.
Yes.
But the sport element is, strangely enough, last week when I went to meet Spencer, we're trying to get in an area which is where they've got a community hut, and what's happening is they play football and they do sports there.
Yes.
But also the environment around it, it needs, it's overgrown, so I've said great, we can go in there, can put a nature area in when they're on the breaks or they want to go and have 5-10 minutes, we can sort of have this creative, mindful,
yes,
nature area, which I think is brilliant. And that's for parents to be there. They can engage in that. And anybody that wants to sort of get some gardening skills.
Yep.
So, but that's, you know, around a football pitch. So
again, it's about how these things tie together. I love it when people really live their beliefs, because then the horizons expand and you really do begin to truly appreciate your own values. I'm looking forward to speaking to the team at Football Without Borders. I know they're doing important
things,
and I know they're very, very grateful for your support. But also supporting Reach My Street and the Sports Trader Charity. Just give me a little bit of an appreciation, really, for what you're hoping to do and gain from your support for those particular
It's all about helping also the fact that, you know, vulnerable people, you know, whether it's children or whether it's young adults, that, you know, really, we in the UK are very fortunate that we, you know, we don't realise sometimes how much suffering there is. We know, but when you actually speak to, I mean, it was Chris last week who was on Wednesday and talked about, again, him and his wife, how passionate they are and what they're doing out there to change people's lives and to support and with the orphanage. And again, that word empowering, giving, you know, people confidence to be independent. I mean, the other bit is making communities independent. And I think you've got to have those tools to sustain anywhere. I mean, that's how we, you know, as I say, survive in a way. So I just thought that sounded absolutely brilliant again. And again, you hear the passion. When you hear somebody passionate about wanting to do something and obviously leaving to go there to take risks, which, you know, and again, it's making a difference. So with Koi Sport, I think what I really like about it, it's very personal. So a lot of the time when you give to a charity or an organisation, that sometimes there's no connection there. It's, okay, we've donated and then that's it. And there's no personalisation. Whereas I think with what Koi Sport's doing, they're not. It's making it personal. It's making everybody almost go on a journey with
absolutely
who we're supporting. And that for me again is it. Okay, it's about businesses connecting. But
sure.
I think on the other side of it, I think when you want if you have a business, that's important. But I think when you're doing something like this, it's also you want to make a difference, whether your business is mentioned or not. For my personal sort of perspective, that's really, you know, I mean, again, I've always been somebody that's wanted to help anybody that needs it. And again, with Koi Sport training, in some ways, you know, I can offer that training support to organisations that might need that.
Absolutely.
So it's being useful rather than just saying, oh, this is my business and I do this. It's not really, well, certainly for foundation training, it's not about that. We just want to help people make a change for the, you know, a positive change.
And again, I would come back to that key word that was really kind of pervaded this conversation, which is to say empowering. And you are seriously doing that. It's massively, massively appreciated. And I know that you will continue to do that. It's been just a joy to appreciate your particular passion. But let's bring it back, nevertheless, to foundation training. People listening maybe wanting to learn more, maybe get the benefits of your particular bespoke coaching information to really get attuned to your gift with mindfulness and self-awareness. How can we learn more?
How can you learn more? I mean, I think from our perspective, as a business, we are always we're always learning from what other people need. But I think from what is happening at the moment with mental health especially, I think that being able to sort of give organisations something that they can hold on to as knowledge. And again, knowledge is a big thing, isn't it? It's about sharing knowledge, and training is about sharing knowledge. But it's being able to hopefully heal from what's happened in the pandemic, because this is going to take a long time. And I think with foundation training, we have changed as an organisation in some ways, because we are trying to sort of mend, I don't know whether that's the right word, but kind of we'll probably never get back to normal as in normal, because all of us have been through such a, well, something that we've never had before. But yeah. Just to try and get people's confidence back as well. Absolutely. I mean, that's another big thing, you know, giving people I'm all about giving people a boost.
Absolutely.
So positive approach, and a can do, we can do this. And again, another goal I sort of want to also just mention, because I am again, is that we also want to make people more aware about our environment. So yes. I'll just use this as an example. Care homes, okay, can put some plants in their back garden with the residents, but they could put a tree in that could actually help the environment. So there is also a change in our message, is also trying to get people to recycle, and you can do all that within what you're doing. So planting a tree, learning a little bit more about nature. So wherever you go, you can embed that. So for me, foundation is kind of developed in an environmental way as well.
Absolutely beautiful and really, really critical. So, you know, again, for me, it's been inspiring to appreciate your company. If people are listening and are keen to just hunt into a bit more about you, do you have a website that you could
find? Yes, I do. Yeah, actually, yes, we do. It's a very basic website. It's not fancy or anything, but it's real, as I say. So, yeah, if you go on www.foundationtraining.co.uk, that will give you the details about sort of mandatory training within, as I say, mental health, learning disabilities, care homes, domiciliary. However, we do provide training, which I was going to say is we do sort of first aid training. I have a really good trainer that does, we've done actually a bit about knife crime.
Okay.
So teenagers on the street about, so we've run some first aid and we're actually running some in schools now.
Fantastic.
So community centres, voluntary groups, any organisation that sometimes just needs a basic induction for the staff, just, you know, the basic fire safety, the basic health and safety, that gives them a little bit of, hopefully we try and make it interesting as well, because sometimes people say health and safety. So, yeah, if you look on there, there is a lot of training on there, but we do obviously mindfulness, you know, first aid. So there is other things on there that, if anybody wants to get in touch and speak to me about. So if you've got a sports organisation that needs to get people off the ground by having to have, you know, first aid and any basic training, we can also do that, because obviously we have worked a lot with communities as well.
Absolutely.
So a bit of everything, really.
Well, again, seriously, I'm in awe of your energy, and really appreciate, once again, spending a little bit of time.
I'm surprised I've got the energy Wednesday night, 7 o'clock.
Oh, honestly, it's blown me away. I think it's awesome. And I'm sure you're going to continue to be a real force of good. Again, just remind me and those listening of the best way to engage with you. What's your website once again?
Okay, it's www.foundationtraining.co.uk, and it's if you want to get in touch with me, it's Sally Pierce, and there should be an email connection on there, and obviously if you can't, then speak to Dave at Coysport, because he's got my details as well. and just drop me an email and ask me a question. I mean, I can, you know, if I can't do it, then I can perhaps recommend somebody that can. So
absolutely. And again, in line with all the many community projects you're involved with and you are engaging with and for the benefit of, no doubt you'll be able to assist so many people going forward.
Hopefully, yes.
It's been a joy. It's been a real joy enjoying your company.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, I'm really looking forward to seeing, you know, Reach My Street and Football Without Borders and seeing how they develop. I'm very excited about that. So for me, it's a pleasure to sort of watch an organisation sort of benefit from being a member of Core Sports. So
absolutely. I know they value it and I know that they're going to really go forwards. Again, in line with that support and sort of honouring your energy, is there anything in closing you would like to address or remind us about foundation training at all?
I think just to say that our ethos is really, as I've sort of put on our website, is a holistic bespoke approach to really supporting people. Perfect. So the word support is always a word I do like to use, and hopefully that even through us maybe projects that want to look at doing environmental or sport grassroots or anything, that maybe we can sort of help with, you know, anything that people might need. So and also if you've got people that you think are suffering, that are suffering with stress from COVID and they want to come along to a mindful program, you know, that's something that obviously next year we've got quite a few programs we're going to be running out around the city, and we're hoping to just try and develop. Obviously the Secret Garden's been a really good platform for us, because Karen, who is the head of running the Secret Garden, has been absolutely amazing. She's been so encouraging, we've just got to keep our morale up as well. I think that's a big thing.
100% 100% agree with you, and I know you can continue doing that. Sally Pierce from Training Foundation or Foundation Training, it's been an honour to appreciate your company. Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. Thank you, Tony.
Earlier in this podcast, it was great to speak with Sally Pierce from Foundation Training, who is a new member of the Koi Sports CIC membership force. And she's been awesome and is supporting several great grassroots sports institutions, one of whom is the tremendous Football Without Borders, to give us some insight into what Football Without Borders is all about. It's an honour and a privilege to welcome to you George Osuya. Hello, George. How are you?
Hello, Tony. How are you? Nice to meet you. I'm good.
Top man. Great to speak with you. Really looking forward to learning all about Football Without Borders. I know you are working really hard using the power of sport, focus a little bit on football, to really empower communities across Africa and beyond. Just give me an idea, please, about the mission there with Football Without Borders.
Yeah, Football Without Borders is a community-based organization, and we are using sport to mobilize youth in the community. Thereafter, we engage them into different activity. You know, whenever you are in the community, you need to involve each and every person. So Football Without Borders, the main our vision and our mission should go together, you know. Like, if you have these people together, you need to focus on what can bring them close. So we started by different sports. Yes. That is boxing, you know, yes, for self-defense for the girls. We do football, we do taekwondo, we do all these sports, you know. Yes. But mainly we focus much on sports, on football, because many people in the community believe that this is what they are seeing and this is what is happening. They are fans of England, you know.
Yes,
of course. It is, and people enjoy so much to see others playing football and learning more through football. So we engage life skills activity. Whenever we play this football, we have to bring up the life skill to teach different things in the community, like HIV and AIDS prevention, violence prevention. So if you bring these life skills, it will give out the information that you want to pass. Again, we use it for education, you know, like counting 1 up to 10 or 20 for the young kids, like knowing how to call animals' name or anything that you want to pass, any kind of information that you want to pass. So life skill has been the bond for football and activities that we are doing in the community.
I guess it's amazing. Again, we empower people learn when they play. And the power of football, known as the beautiful game, to unite in that way must be really powerful to witness.
Yeah. So this brings us so close to whatever that we want to do. Just like you say that about our vision, you know. So if you gather these people together, you share with them the information that you want to pass, it will go direct to whatever that you want to achieve in the community. So we have readily available lands. And therefore, we said that getting knowledge of agriculture, then we combine it to be agribusiness. So this will bring the sustainability, you know.
And that's the key, isn't it? That is the absolute key. It isn't just about having these wonderful ideas, but they kind of then just fizzle out. The vital next step is that sustainability, where you take these values, you instill it within communities, and then it grows. Just give me an idea about that sustainable side of things.
Yeah, so the sustainable part of it is that we engage them, we give them the knowledge on how to farm, you know. So after farming or after planting these crops, they have to sell it to the community. They can do barter trade, you know, like you have maize, so someone has kales, so you can do barter trade. Or they can sell this produce and subsidized school-related costs like pen, books, you know, and some of the fee. So again, we get balanced diet, you know, from these things, from the from the farm that they have done or the produce that they have in the farms. So this brings employability, self-employment, you know, to this youth as well. As that age, if they can think of doing agriculture, then they can sell, then they can buy pen, then they can, you know, they reduce poverty rate in the community.
Amazing.
They come up with the idea of sustainable, which can create employment, you know, to this young youth, young generation. And that is when we think again to come up with a female empowerment program, whereby we are making reusable sanitary towels, you know, so that we can distribute them to hardship area. And I'm thinking of this thing that to be a company which can again bring employment to these girls and boys who are learning on how to make reusable sanitary towels and period panty. So as long as we engage with these ideas, then we share with the community that will tell that we feel the power of sports and how we can use this sport to enlighten community, then it becomes a greater vision of football without borders.
George, literally using the power of sport there to educate, empower, to provide life skills and to provide that way to enhance communities through that individual and then beyond borders ability to monetize and kind of become economically empowered too. Healthier, happier future.
So I think football without borders, the drive of change, you know, like each and every step that we are making in the community brings a light. Like I said before, it brings something, a value. It adds value each and every time. Because if you see the background, when we started Football Without Borders, girls were facing a lot of problems, you know. They couldn't even attend school sometimes when they have monthly period. But now we have reduced that rate, you know. We have reduced this thing to become around 75%. So if at all we move on with this, it is going to be 100%, whereby the performance will increase in school. And again, we are going to provide employment for these girls and boys in the community. So the only thing that Football Without Borders want to bring out mm-hmm. is for us to learn from different people, you know.
Yeah.
We want to learn some of the things that can influence us to the community to be one, to be united, you know, and to move together, whereby we don't see boys and girls,
yes.
but we see a future in the community, whereby people as well can develop and bring change to the community. Yeah.
I just think it's so powerful what you are all about. And what an improvement there to move to that sort of 75% level from practically nothing, but obviously still big things ahead. George, give me an idea, please, if you could, about your what you guys call the four pillars of Football Without Borders.
Just like I shared before, the four pillars comes with whatever that we are doing in the community. So if you do a move from one step to another step, it brings the pillar of whatever that we are doing, you know. So if it is all about sports, what are you doing with sports? How do we engage sports to enlighten the community? Sports bonds each and everything that we are doing. So the four pillars come with whatever that we are doing. If it is a community-based development, then it comes from sport. We use sport to develop the community. If it is education, we use sport to educate this the generation that are coming, you know. So all our pillars lies with whatever that we're doing. If we engage ourselves in female empowerment, we use sport. So all these pillars, we develop them according to our strategy, how we move the programs, how can we change the community. So the pillars of education, coming to community development, coming to health,
yep.
all goes together. Like on the side of health, we are using WASH, you know, water sanitation and hygiene. So all these things goes with life skills as well. So if you want to use sports to train hygiene management, you
yep.
can use it, life skills. You know, if you want to pass the information of education, agribusiness, or anything, you have to use sport. That is our pillar. That is what we focus
Beautiful.
On. So for us to drive out the pillars, for us to know more about whatever that we are doing in the community, the pillars will guide us on what we are going to do.
I guess it's so crucial to have that kind of structure. Again, George, amazed by the progress being made. Can you just educate me here? How long has Football Without Borders been going on?
We started Football Without Borders in 2017, but it was low. You know, like I shared with Nick and Nick of Worldlywise, and again I shared with Dave about yep. this, because when I meet them, the Football Without Borders was not there at all. You know, it was like my effort. I was putting
yes.
a lot of effort, what I was earning from another organization, which was $50, you know.
Gotcha.
So I started the sustainability, because I was seeing a future of the community. But what can we do together as youths so that we can bring this change, or we can bring this the information to these people in the community? Because I know more about agribusiness. I know more about agriculture. But how can we turn farming as a business, you know? So it is very hard for people to believe in whatever that they have, you know. I don't want to depend on funds, but I want to depend on the knowledge. If you have knowledge, then you are going to receive funds.
Mm-hmm.
So I told my friends in 2017, like, let us get moving. Let us do this, you know,
yes.
so that we can bring a change in the community. Then I gave them, it was around, I do some saving on 2017 up to December. So I gave them the funds so that they can start something, you know. Then they bring the image of let us do farming.
You know? Yes.
From there, we start getting knowledge, because I know more about agriculture. So I gave them the strategy on what they can do, how they can do it. Then we call a women group in the community.
Mm-hmm.
So we started eliminating them to educate them on farming. How can they make advance to farming, you know? So that is when the image of Football Without Borders started.
Yes.
Then 2018, it now picks up, and people started to know more about what Football Without Borders is. how can we engage in, you know, how can we help football with our borders? Then 2019, it picks up. That is when I started meeting different people outside the country, you know, inside the country. People are trying to come up with different ideas and what you can do, how you can do it, you know. So I'm glad because until now we are not receiving funds, but I'm so happy. Like Koi Sport is trying each and every time. I'm meeting different people. I'm meeting nice people who are trying to see whatever that we are doing. And they're putting effort, you know. I'm not paying them anything, but they're putting effort to see the development, to see this vision and the mission that we have in the organization are being uplifted from one step to another step. Like now, I really appreciate David, what he has done. You know, the image of Football Without Borders is being seen because of Koi Sport and World YC. But Koi Sport is now paying a lot of attention in whatever that we are doing because we do sustainability. And at the grassroots, whenever they do sustainability, many people try to approach and see how can we come in and help these people, you know. And that is what David is doing now to give us some support. I really appreciate about that.
George, that was kind of you to say, but to be honest with you, it's an honour to support you. I know Sally Pierce at Foundation Training was delighted to offer support, and I know Koi Sport will continue to champion what you guys are all about because you really are the essence of the kind of Koi Sport vision, providing businesses and interconnecting them with vital grassroots sports missions such as yourself. George, the thing is that really struck me there was your own drive and your passion for this project. But the thing that really hit me was that you began this with, like you say, $50 and just a bit of a dream. And now it's really going places. But my goodness me, you started this in the middle of a global pandemic, sir. Just give me an idea of some of the challenges that represented.
Oh, I faced a lot of challenges because it reached a time when we were using all the sport, like I mentioned before. Then people in the community now, they are afraid, you know, of COVID-19. Everybody was afraid. And therefore, if something like COVID-19 came in front of what you are doing, you know, it becomes terrible. It shaken Football Without Borders. But I thank God because I met different people during that time. And that I can say it is not per se challenge for me to meet different people outside my country because I think lockdowns really saved my organization. That is when I met Dave, I met Nick, I met different people because of lockdown. I was networking during that time. But in the project, it was very hard because we have to keep distance whenever we train these children. We have to have 1.5 meters. You know, it is not easy to have like 200 people or 300 people close. You know, it was very hard. So the first challenge that we faced is many parents were really afraid of COVID-19. So they couldn't give opportunity to their children to come and being trained in Football Without Borders. Another thing, meeting people. You know, if you have organization, you need to meet people. You need to network. So locally, we were not doing this. Yeah, it was very, very hard. So And again, what I think is that the main challenge was the lockdown, you know. So lockdown really hindered us from doing these activities. I even didn't go to farm because we used to interact and share a workshop. I'm not doing anything before having a workshop, you know, because that is part of training. So you can't go and deliver information while you haven't trained people. You have to train them. That is when you go to farm to deliver information. So it was very, very hard for us to gather together to share this information. So I think a lot of challenges we faced.
Yes.
For example, people coming to help us in the organization, that was a big challenge as well. We couldn't run agriculture program like we used to. I couldn't even get some funds to give out seeds and fertilizer to my participants, because I'm doing football for agriculture league. So this league couldn't get the opportunity to run. Like, we couldn't get funds to run this football for Agriculture League, that is the main project now that I'm seeing, because we are giving these children opportunity in schools.
Yes.
By the way, football for agriculture target different people. We target organizations, we target institutions, we target the schools, we target groups in the community. So it is a big project. And therefore, whenever they came together, we have to held these workshops. It was very, very hard to do this football for Agriculture League.
Astonishing challenges, but here you are growing, to use a pun there. Whereabouts is Football Without Borders based, George? Do you have a focus in a particular area or region? Are you panning the continent of Africa? Whereabouts are you focused in on?
Yeah, we are based in Matiako. That is found in Mosocho Division. We are in Bugusero North.
Okay.
And Tutu Chache South. And the county is Kisi County. And again, we are in Nyanza region. Gotcha. Then we are in Koma.
Gotcha. We're honestly doing amazing, amazing things then, really overcoming some massive challenges, but truly empowering communities using the power of sport and really enriching and enhancing people's lives, which is an absolutely phenomenal thing to be associated with. George, it's been astonishing to appreciate your journey. Where can we learn more information? What's the best website to get involved with Football Without Borders?
We have Football Without Borders, kenya.org. That is our website. And again, maybe I will share with you in your mail so that you can share with people.
Absolutely.
Again, we have Facebook is Football Without Borders.
Yep.
Twitter is Football Without Borders. YouTube, Football Without Borders. LinkedIn, Football Without Borders. So, yeah,
people can find. Just run those past us one more time, please, George.
Yeah.
Yeah, just remind me once again of all those ways that we can engage with you.
Yeah, you can get us in LinkedIn as Football Without Borders, Twitter as Football Without Borders. We have Instagram as Football Without Borders. We have Facebook as Football Without Borders. We have LinkedIn as a company,
yep,
whereby we have a page in LinkedIn as well. Football Without Borders, and we have website that is footballwithoutborders.org.
Perfect. So many ways to engage, George. We salute you and your awesome work. Is there anything else that you'd like to address or remind us of just before we say goodbye for now?
Yes. I would like to share with people that whatever that I'm doing is dedication. It is effort. It needs people to come and support. And again, ever since I made Koi Sport, the number has increased from 120 to 800. Now it is over 800, you know. So this means that whatever that I was doing before has changed. It has come to something big. If I was distributing fertilizer to 120 people, now I'm distributing fertilizer to 800 people.
Amazing.
So you can imagine how this thing has grown. It has grown to where now my $50 can support. But the effort of people, dedication of people, and the unity of people, and what people sees, the value that people see in whatever football is, Football Without Borders is doing, that is what will give these people the sustainability. We might give the knowledge, but without implementation, then it is not the knowledge. Without performing duty, it is not a mission. Without dedicating ourselves, then it is not a vision. If we come together, if we collect the information of Football Without Borders, then we try to put this effort to help Football Without Borders progress. It is not mine. It is for each and every person that is seeing what Football Without Borders is doing. So if we come together and collect the information that we give to the community, then focus on this information that we are giving, then put your funds onto it. know that you put the fund in supporting a community drive, in supporting change, in supporting reducing poverty rate, in supporting school dropout, whereby people are not dropping out of school, in supporting a progress and sustainability of the community. So I'm urging each and every person to come together and see whatever Football Without Borders is doing. We have tournaments. We have everything. If you want your company to be branded in our tournaments, if you want your company to be branded in our leagues, if you want the whole firm to be branded in your name, then we really welcome you to come and support Football Without Borders. Thank you so much, Tony.
George, it's been a joy. Honestly, you've inspired me, and I know you're going to continue to inspire so, so many people. And literally utilizing that power of sport, that power of football, enriching individuals and, of course, communities' lives. George, people like you change the world. It's not a magical wand. It takes time, effort, and commitment. You live those values, sir. It's been a joy to appreciate your excellent work, and we'll look forward to touching base with you in the very near future. Thank you once again for your company just now.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Tony. Thank you a lot.
This has been Tony Rice for Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast. If you like what you've heard and are interested in becoming a member of Koi Sports CIC or simply looking for more information about all our phenomenal members and, of course, the amazing work being done here, take a moment and simply visit www.koisports.co.uk. I'll repeat, that's www.koisports.co.uk. And be sure to listen in next week for another Koi Sports CIC Grassroots Podcast.